Next up, some of the reasons why archaeologists become so excited at the discovery of pottery. What can you discover after the appliance of science from ancient ceramics? To tell us more about thin sections, chemical analysis and polarizing microscopy, here's Ksenia Haralambidou, whom I spoke to earlier this month.
We'll use a definition by Ian Whitebread, who says that ceramic petrology encompasses the study of ceramic materials, provenance and technology based on ceramic petrography, which is the description of ceramic material in hand specimens and in thin sections. And when we're talking about thin sections, we have to keep in mind that we need to use a microscope. Ceramic petrography is a powerful method for technological and for provenance studies, and there are many questions that can be answered through ceramic petrographic analysis. Few of them are the following. It can aid us to trace the provenance of the raw materials from the samples, and therefore we can have an idea about the place of manufacture of the product. It can help us to trace differentiations in the ceramic fabrics and understand whether these are in any way associated with different time periods, or it can help us understand the firing temperature, which plays such an important role in the final durability of the vases.
So it's very clear that ceramic petrology draws on a lot of other scientific disciplines like chemistry and geology. So you presumably have to have a strong background or a good awareness of these specific disciplines. How do you go about determining the type of fabric used in a specific fragment of pottery?
The type of fabric is determined by several variables. First of all, the color of the clay, and then we have the frequency, the sorting, the size, the roundness, and the types of inclusions. So you understand that there are many parameters that you have to deal with.
Okay, so talk us through how you go about analyzing the material. We have some thin sections in front of us, we're in the lab. So what sort of things are you looking for when you put a thin section under the microscope?
I'm looking at the matrix of the clay, and I'm looking at the minerals, at the rock fragments that appear in my sample. And the identification of minerals and rocks are very, very important for understanding the provenance of the sample. So these are the first things I'm looking at.
How does the study of ceramic petrology help us understand more about the production and distribution of pottery in past societies?
Production and distribution are very linked to each other. You have to have a very clear idea about the place of manufacture of certain products so as to understand how these products were circulating. Production and distribution, production and consumption are very much linked to each other.
So you're a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Athens, and you do much of your research here at the Fitch Laboratory. You're currently working on a very interesting early Iron Age cemetery site on the Aegean island of Naxos. So what is so significant about the pottery life cycles at this site and early Iron Age Greece in general?
I'm working on the ceramic material from the Tsikalarion necropolis in inland Naxos, which is a very important site. This cemetery involves many circular and elliptical funerary structures, which can be called tumuli, and are very unique for Naxos and for the Cyclades in general. So I'm dealing with the ceramic material coming from this site. My interest doesn't concern only understanding of the burial customs, but of the processes from production to distribution and deposition. And the reason is because we don't have extensive settlements or workshops and kilns on Naxos. We can learn about production distribution through other contexts, for instance, cemeteries and sanctuaries, and in our case, the Tsikalario Cemetery. Through my macroscopic research, I think that it is possible that a significant part of pots, especially coarse vessels, were projected near the Tsikalario Cemetery. This is, of course, something that really needs to be evaluated through the scheduled petrographic analysis. So it might be possible that we might have a direct type of exchange between producer and consumer, which would result in a localized distribution of the artifacts. This means we would expect that producer and consumer were living in proximity to each other. Of course, there are other types of distribution, not patterns of the distribution, that we have to understand. We have a number of imported wares in the Tsikalaryo cemetery. There are not as many as we have in the cemeteries of Naxos town on the shore. Naxos town is one of the basic ports of Naxos. So it is possible that at least some of the imported wares from Tsikalaryo are coming from a central locus, from a central place, and this might be the port of Naxos town. So we're dealing with the different kind of relationships, different kinds of distributions, and different kinds of consumption patterns.
So just a general question. Can you tell us a little bit about what was going on in early Iron Age and early Archaic Greece, socially and culturally?
I'm dealing with the early Iron Age and the Archaic periods in Greece. And these periods are important because many great changes happened that led to the formation of the civilization of the classical period. So we are at the genesis of many important processes that span from the 11th to the early 5th centuries BC.
And many of these processes are being reflected in the ceramic record.
Yes, indeed.
Ksenia Haralambidou, at the British School at Athens, postdoctoral researcher at the University of Athens, talking about the huge amount of information that can be extracted from ceramics.